Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, and we're talking with public radio reporter Keely Boltina about education leaders calling for more respect for the profession of teaching. South Dakota's Secretary of Education says teachers deserve more reverence for their work. A Mitchell teacher says parents don't respect educators now as much as when she started 30 years ago. Keely, do we have any sense of why teachers feel this way?
Teachers say that people assume they know what a teacher does. They have these antiquated images of students and desks, whether that's because that's how they went to school and how they experienced it, or because that's just the image that is in their minds. They just don't understand the work teachers put into the job to benefit students. I think that's part of the argument.
All right, give me an example.
So personalized learning is gaining a lot of attention in schools all across South Dakota. So teachers are appealing to specific individual students based on how they best learn and those specific areas where they struggle. So they're trying to tailor the education to the student to have more effective outcomes. That sounds pretty simple until you have 25 kids in a class and you have six classes, and then that really starts to take some time. So that's one aspect of it. Otherwise, there are teachers that use what was first called a flipped classroom, where students experience the lecture portion as a video, as homework, and then they work through problems and exercises when they're actually in the classroom. And that way the teacher can guide and assist instead of kids getting stuck on problems. I know one teacher who uses the class time to help students through complicated multiplication problems, and that way they have to see the lectures first and then do the work in class, so they're better helped. But she has to record those lectures at some point in her day, and that's not going to be when her students are in the classroom and when she's helping them. And she has to grade assignments and offer feedback that helps push kids to a better mastery of the work. So all of that takes more time.
All right, so that makes sense for math and science teachers. What about some of the other teachers?
One of the easiest classes for me to envision is PE. Gym just seems obvious, right? I think about running on the track or learning basketball's rules or that giant parachute that we all had back in the day.
Right.
That's not apparently how physical education works now. I want you to meet this pair of teachers. They're a mother and son who say gym is much more than jumping rope.
I'm Carol Shade. I have taught at Whittier Middle School for 35 years, 6th grade health, 7th and 8th grade PE, and I am the athletic coordinator there.
I'm Casey Shade. I'm the elementary PE teacher now at Pettigrew Elementary, and this will be my second year of teaching. I also coach cross country and track at Roosevelt. With my mom, I kind of grew up a gym rat a little bit, so I just kind of really became comfortable with it, gained a passion, saw the importance of it to kids. It's a little bit different structure than in the classroom. I just really like the activity part of it, and I'm someone who loves activities, teaching kids activities, finding them passions. So I wanted to take that into consideration and finding kids to have fitness activities that they can do that they're passionate about.
And even though you started with your mom as your teacher, as your gym teacher, you still didn't realize that was your calling right away. You went a different route first.
Yeah, when I went to the University of South Dakota, I started as a business major for like 2 weeks, but then I kind of really told myself when I just talked to other people, it's kind of what's your mission in life. I didn't feel like I could really, really do something that's worthwhile, be sitting at a desk or doing something business-wise when I could impact our youth and make them better today, perhaps to put them in a situation where I am now, where I have a job, I'm successful, I love what I'm doing.
So he took after you in many ways because you have a similar situation.
Right. I went to Augustana College then, now Augustana University, and I started out as a business major. I loved doing accounting and the number system, but I couldn't sit still. A couple professors sat me down and asked me, what about education? Oh, no, teachers don't make very much money. I don't know about that. And they said, well, you work in the programs with other schools and the Y program, and you have such a passion of working with kids, and kids just kind of come to you and want to be part of you and want to do things with you. Why don't you go for it? And so I started getting into the PE program and just love that passion now.
Do people understand what you do as a physical education teacher?
I think they really got to see what we do, especially from the elementary level. We have little kids that are 5-year-olds compared to kids that are 10, and it's a drastic difference from what you have to teach them, their skill level and everything like that. It's just not roll a ball out and kick a ball. We have structure games, everything like that. We're teaching them how to perform certain skills. We do a broad horizon of activity. So if you look out the whole year, a kid's going to find some type of passion, whether it's a volleyball game, it's basketball, it's archery more in the middle school and high school. They're going to find something they're passionate about.
When we first started out, it was all games and, okay, we're going to teach basketball, volleyball, softball. Now we do a lot of lead-up games so that we can play those games. Fitness. But why do we do the fitness? Before, being a Sioux Falls student myself, it was go out and do this. But then we were never taught why. And I see that coming, same things that we did years ago, but giving the reason why to students or giving them a number of this would be a good fitness zone for you to get into if you can get to this stage.
Do you work hard?
I think so. I mean, when I first get to school, I have to set up anywhere from a half an hour to 45 minutes of equipment. And I have to plan out for a variety of different age groups. Kindergarten's going to do totally different than what fifth grade does. Well, how am I going to incorporate that where I can have a quick, easy turnover? We have to deal with a lot of kids. Sometimes at Pettigrew Elementary, I'll have one class, or we'll have two classes in there, so I have to deal on how to manage with 50 kids. So I'm always on the go and on the move. With elementary, we have a lot of different time frames. Our class time's with them shorter. It's only 35 minutes. So I'm bouncing from one class to another. I could have up to 10 classes in a day. So I have to work on a lot of transitions and bumping kids around, different learning needs, everything like that. We have to process of how kids learn. Somebody's at a really high level, maybe athletically. Some kids are at a low level athletically. I have to incorporate that into lessons and process that, just the planning part, even before I even teach a lesson. But there's also that learning aspect too of some are academically high, some are academically low. How am I going to teach this game, this skill that's going to work best for each student to learn it?
You choose to work the 11-hour day because it's best and you really need to perform all of your duties, but some people figure out how to skimp by and then there are consequences for kids. Is that like a fair assessment?
Yes, there's a few teachers that say, nope, I'm not going to do it because my contract says this. But as Casey and I, in our heart, it's like, we got to get this done. We got to get this organized because our love for teaching, our love for students, so that we're organized so that they can be organized, better students.
But I would say 90% of teachers go above and beyond their time because they need to. There is so much work.
If you ask either one of us, in one day we were probably from 12,000 to 24,000 steps that him and I take because we're trying to build that relationship to find out what skills, either mentally, emotionally, socially, or physically, that we need to help our students out. And that's one of the nice aspects of having students maybe for 3 years in a row, to see them grow. Or from kindergarten to fifth grade, to see their growth and build that relationships, not only with the students, but with the family.
All right, Carol Shade, Keely Bultina, my daughter's middle school PE teacher right there. I love her. And she also taught health and came into the room and just yelled abstinence at the top of her lungs whenever she could.
She does admit that she likes to keep kids on their toes, and she also is not afraid to use middle school humor with middle schoolers. She says she starts her classes by saying, listen, I'm going to tell you what my three F's are, and everybody goes, oh my gosh, what's she going to say? And then she says, I'm firm, fair, and fun, so let's work through this together.
Mm-hmm. I love her. She's a keeper.
Yes. You know, all of the teachers I talk to, they say they're not complaining. They know that they chose this profession. They signed up for it. They followed the calling. They know this is the work, regardless of whether you think they have the right number of work days or the system is set up correctly. But they don't appreciate the fact that people question what they do at every single step. And right. I think that's why we're seeing this discussion bubble to the surface now.
All right. You've done education stories for years now. For the last bit of time, it's been a primary focus for you. Were you surprised to hear teachers say some of these things?
I wasn't. The first is that we have done so many stories in K-12 education. So especially with the sales tax discussion, we heard this. But I've also heard about it in tiny snippets over the years. We have some teachers in the family. And I remember my grandma's sister talking about how teaching had changed from her start and why she opted to retire in 1995.
All right. Tell me about her life in the classroom. She starts in the 1950s?
50s, yep. I wanted to learn more about my aunt's time in the classroom because she stopped teaching when I was 7. So she took photos of me like drawing on the chalkboard in her classroom or playing with those big yellow and red like rubber balls. So I was there, but I don't recall much beyond the fact that she knew in the last about 6 months of her teaching that it was just time for her to leave the classroom. So here is Verlis Jacobson.
I taught in a rural school for 3 years. I started in 1958, and I taught myself out of students. I only had four the last semester. So then I went to Lenox, and I taught second grade for 4 years, started in 61. And I got kind of bored with that, so I moved to middle school and taught middle school for 30 years and ended in 1995.
30 years in middle school just seems like a really intimidating concept.
Well, they can be a pain, but they can also be kind of nice. You just have to understand that they're growing and changing and looking for their power. When I started, the teacher was just about always right, even maybe when she wasn't, but the parents treated it that way. And by the time I quit, it got so the parents were questioning just about every move the teacher made. And that was, even when it wasn't their child, I had one mother that complained because I said something to somebody else's kid.
How did that affect what you did? I mean, it seems like it was just kind of, was it less fun?
It was less fun. It had to be so careful about what you said because somebody was going to find it offensive and go home and tell mama, even though it might have been a joke and the kids might have laughed at the time. As parents, the parents have to be really careful. I think in the old days when they said, you behave in school or you're going to be trouble at home, that was maybe too much because sometimes the teacher might have been wrong. There might have been a misunderstanding. The story didn't get told the way it really happened. So it takes a parent to come to school and say, okay, now let me hear your side of it, instead of just coming up and being angry without ever thinking that, oh, there might be another side to this whole story. Well, my mother had been a teacher. And in 1957, there wasn't much for a girl to do except be a teacher, be a nurse, or be a secretary. And neither one of those really appealed to me, the nursing or the secretary, so teaching was left. But I liked it. I enjoyed it. I think as time went by, more people started calling me by my first name, talking about parents now. In the beginning, they always called me Miss Jacobson, but as years went by, which I didn't mind if the parents called me that, even now, after I've been retired for 22 years, I still have kids that cannot say my first name. They have to say Miss Jacobson. And I have parents, too, that say that. They just can't say my first name.
Her name is Verlis.
Yes, Verlis. Verlis, then my grandma, Viona, and the youngest, Vanita. Say those three times fast.
All right, so I've got teachers in my family, too. My stepmother, Dorothy, is a teacher, and she taught me that she would tell her parents at conferences, I'll make a deal with you. You believe half of what your kid says happened in the classroom, and I'll believe half of what they say happens at home, and then we'll be okay. And so I always took that rule. And
that may also, be a nugget of information for current teachers. Yes.
She also taught me this, and it was that at the beginning of the class, she had a child who was particularly challenging. She would take them outside the room, and she would show them her name on the door. And she would say, my name is on the door. When your name is on the door, you get to make the rules. And so I did that with my child when she first went to kindergarten. This is the teacher's name on the door. She makes the rules. My name is not on the door. Neither is yours. And that was it. That was the only conversation that we needed to have about who was in charge of that classroom.
And I think that's something to remember when we have these discussions. You know, we want to give these teachers voices because sometimes teachers are the ones that are keeping their heads down. They're trying to help kids learn. They're trying to do their job. And they're just trying to stay out of the fray, right? Like a lot of teachers really don't want to create any drama. They just want to do their work and be appreciated for it. And they want parents to understand that too. So there's this line between, being an active parent and undermining the teacher. And there's a line with teachers too, making sure that, you know, they're not the end all of all of the discussions, but also that they don't just kind of acquiesce to whatever parents need. So, I mean, it's difficult, as we've seen over the past, several years.
Right. What else do teachers have to say about their profession?
You know, the conversations I had were really focused on this concept of elevating teachers, but every single teacher I talked to brought up how technology is changing their world. PE teachers Carol Shade and Casey Shade say that they're trying to find the right place for technology in gym class in a way that doesn't chip away at their core mission of keeping kids active and healthy. Longtime retired teacher Verlis Jacobson, you just heard, mentions how she saw technology work in her instruction.
It was fun to introduce calculators to the kids. I did that in the mid-80s, I think. Some parents really objected to that. Oh, they ought to learn the multiplication tables and they ought to learn. Well, I wasn't advocating not. But by the time you get to middle school, we're beyond learning the multiplication tables and the addition and subtraction tables. We're into things like 6 to the 9th power. Well, you can do that in a few seconds on a calculator, whereas it would take many minutes to do it without. So the calculator has its place. I still think, sure, it's nice to know that 6 times 9 is 54, so you don't have to punch that out on the calculator, but they have their place.
That's also what elementary school teacher Susan Dodge says. She says technology has its place. It can be incredible. It can make education better. It can also distract. And she says that she firmly believes no keyboard or tablet can replace a good teacher.
Keely Bultina, thank you so much for this. It has been a real pleasure to hear all these different voices. And before I let you go, speaking of professionals, Keely is leaving South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Her family is moving to Wisconsin to follow some opportunities there. So professional, compassionate, smart, as smart can be. You have done so much to help listeners in the state, but me personally, you have done so much to help me figure out how to do this job.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you. We will miss you, but I'll be texting you daily.
Thanks, and you're welcome.